Blog Talk Radio.
Tennessee,
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 Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force and truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Everyone, welcome to Table Talk with T and Ronan. We had to play that so fast for y'all. I'm glad y'all was enjoying it. Tennessee, that was my song. Jamal said he ain't heard it since he was 6 years old.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one in a minute. That was a pretty fun time. that we're living in, living some great music.
I miss them times, right.
Yeah.
But you know what was so cool about the 90s, though, because G. Stewart was saying it in the chat room. What was so cool about the 90s is, like, you had a mixture. Like, you had the gangster rap, you had N.W.A., you had Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, but then you also had groups like Arrested Development. Now all you have is a bunch of just watered-down commercial bullshit. There is no diversity. It's like everything's stuff from the same class.
No, there's not that much difference. I mean, it's just like a different name, pretty much the same routine.
Right. It's funny. So, anyways, I hope everybody's having a really good night. We're just going to hit up a few topics here. We're going to, you know, get the ball rolling. As we all know, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. So I know a lot of people are getting ready for Thanksgiving, and they're getting ready to cook and everything. So it's been all this controversy about the Walmart employees. I had did a video about it the other day. And basically they're saying that a lot of them are about to walk out, basically during Black Friday, because they're upset that Walmart is forcing them to come in at 8 p.m., whereas in previous years, they would open up Black Friday at like 10 o'clock, before you see midnight, then it was 10 o'clock. Now this year is the earliest ever, which is 8 o'clock. So a lot of people are really, really mad at Wally World. And so, you know, everybody's trying to figure out, are these people really going to walk out? If they walk out, is it going to make a big difference? So what do you think about the whole Walmart protest so far?
In many ways, it's right, because it's already enough that they're having to sacrifice their time away from their family, you know, and fellowship. But then, like, it's like basically Wally World trying to, you know, get the jump on some extra dollars when they're already making enough. And, yeah, I believe they have every right to protest that. Because I don't understand why people break their necks and end up getting beat up or killed over Black Friday anyway, personally.
Right. You know what I also noticed is a lot of people are saying, you know what, these people need to shut up. They should be happy to have jobs. I'm out of work. I would love to work at Walmart or anywhere for that fact. So do you think that people just need to be appreciative that they have work and quit whining? And, you know, that's part of the deal when you sign up to work is that you may work on Thanksgiving. Like I told y'all last week, I got to go in. You know, they wanted me to come in at 7 o'clock because the store's open early.
Mm-hmm.
But I managed to talk them into letting me come in at 9 because I'm like, you know, I have kids, and I can't, you know, I can't leave right in the middle of dinner, but 9 o'clock is a little bit later. So
right.
I'm going to go in at 9 because not so much of the Walmart employees, but because of the consumers, you know.
Right.
So it's easy to say get over it, but I think the consumers, we as the consumers, we also share blame in that. Because if we weren't standing willing to stand in line at 8 o'clock at night to go buy some, you know, cheap trinkets, they would have no need to open up a store. So I think there's kind of blame to go around. But what do you think about people saying that folks should just get over it and be happy to have a job?
Personally, I think it's bullshit to a degree. Granted, we are a sea of consumers who are addicted to that shit. Basically, Black Friday is the pretty much the gouging out of old stuff, I believe. They're making room for the new stuff, the high technology. So they're getting rid of it at a discount price. But, again, in so many instances, they're showing us a showcase of greed out there because, again, you know, the same thing that you've been fighting over and people get shot and ran over for, it's going to get marked down anyway. So
when
you think about it, like the whole thing with Black Friday, I talked to people at Walmart, and, you know, it's a very challenging environment. You got to deal with enough mess from the customers and then the employees as well, plus now to the point where they have to work a straight 40 hours. There's no overtime. So they'll cut that shit out. So, again, they're only making so much. So first, I believe they have every right to, you know, stand and protest against that shit. Cause, you know, again.
Right. What a lot of people are saying in the chat room, G. Stewart is saying that he's not going to shop on Black Friday. He doesn't have the money, and he's not putting aside his bills to go shop at Walmart. And I totally agree. I never shop during Black Friday. I don't like a lot of people in my space. I'm not about to sit here. I hate waiting in line. You know, I'm a female. I like to shop, but not like that. I'm not going to be waiting. Nobody's lying for no hour, 2 hours for a damn television or for something. You know, I don't have the patience. I've never done it. That's never been my thing. But, you know, to each its own. But just to watch the videos that come out every year of, like, all the chaos on Black Friday is scary because you can see how people get trampled and pushed against the doors and, you know, people are fighting over gifts. One lady, she maced a whole crowd of people last year. They were all fighting over something, and she ended up macing, you know, people. So people are crazy. You know, I'm not trying to get involved in all that. I'd rather just sit at home and chill.
Yeah, I agree with you with that because, like, again, I could be eating my turkey or chilling out and relaxing with my people instead of the rest of these people. Now, I, in some ways, I admire the dedication, but for real, I'm not camping out in front of no store in the middle of the night to fight over someone over some discount pillows or just any kind of items out there. Just like you can get pretty much any time when it comes to, you know, making it affordable. Just like with the things with the iPad thing, they're going to be marked up at first because it's high demand, but later on down the line, they start dropping in price eventually. So, again, it's like it's kind of embarrassing to see that people run over, people get trampled. I remember that year that PlayStation, that someone got stabbed or shot for PlayStation 3.
Yeah, remember the one Walmart employee got trampled to death. That was like 2-3 years ago. He had gotten trampled to death. And it's like, you know, and what was so crazy is that the people were going off. Like, we don't care if he, you know, if he got hurt. You need to bring this up. Like, they still did not stop shopping. They just literally walked over this man. All he did was open the doors, and he ended up losing his life. I know his family ended up suing Walmart big time. But, you know, to me, it's just, it's not worth it. And VH1 said in the chat room, he said that it's kind of sad because now Thanksgiving has turned into Black Friday. Because that was the whole point, is that Black Friday is supposed to happen at midnight on Friday. But now it's on Thursday, so Black Friday is Thanksgiving, you know. And it's kind of crazy because only in America will we say, you know, will we be grateful for what we have and then turn around and run to go buy stuff that we don't need.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for what I do have, but now I'm going to stand in line for the next 3 hours to go get some shit that I know I don't need.
Right.
You know,
and it's
insane.
I mean, you look at it, it's like, I'm with you. Even when I had money, I never been motivated to go out there on Black Friday because I keep hearing the stuff like, nah, I'm cool. I'm not going to be out there in sub-zero temperatures and freezing my ass off waiting on something I might be able to get or someone's going to snatch out my hand or break it or no. I mean, because, like, again, like, it makes us look like hypocrites saying, like, we're supposed to be Thanksgiving, like, giving thanks to what we have as far as family, food, and pretty much show appreciation, and then you have the whole thing of Black Friday where you have nothing but capitalist greed at its worst.
Right.
It kind of is the holiday, really.
Right, that's exactly what it is, you know. VH1 Access is saying that you have people open out for a whole week, you know, and it's crazy. I don't get that either. Other people are saying that the only people that are getting rich off of this besides, like, the CEOs is China. Because they're the ones who are making the products that, you know, that we're running out to buy, you know, and it is. It's really unfortunate. And I think for the people who are telling the Walmart employees, you need to just shut up, you should be happy to have a job, I guess I can understand that because if you're out of work and you're trying to find a job and you got, you know, 100 people complaining about their job, it's like, well, damn, well, let me get your job because I need some income coming in. So I understand the frustration if you're out of work, but again, I mean, I do think they have the right to protest without being threatened, without their jobs being taken from them. You know, a lot of times if they speak out to the media about what's going on at Walmart, they end up losing their jobs. So I think that's really unfortunate. But I think if Walmart was fair, there wouldn't be as much drama. It's like they go out their way to make people work part-time. They don't want to pay these people full-time. And then from what I'm hearing, if you do end up working over 40 hours a week, they sometimes take that out. They take that information out of the system. To keep you at a certain amount of hours, so that way you can't get overtime or anything like that. But yet, still, these CEOs are rich. You know, that's like the richest company in the world. So, granted, they employ a lot of people, but I still think they need to be fair.
But
you know,
these
people can't even get health insurance. You know, at Walmart, there's no health benefits.
And here's the thing, though, T. It's like when you put it into context, you have people get trampled, shot, stabbed. And you got all these people tugging at items that people in China maybe got less than $1 or $5 to make. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. And that's another thing everybody's saying, too, that they ran a lot of the mom-and-pop stores, you know, out of the community. because, you know, yeah. everybody knows once Walmart moves into the community, it's a wrap because they have everything and it's so much cheaper. So why are we going to go to that mom and pop shop, you know, and they're selling stuff for a little bit more expensive? So, you know, it's kind of unfortunate because they've come and they've basically decimated whole areas, you know, and I'm all for, you know, and I'm all for businesses and making a business and making your brand grow, but I think they've taken it to the extreme with their practices.
Yeah, they take it too far. I mean, again, the same campus you get from a Walmart, you figure there's, like, quite a few useful means of mom-and-pop stores that can be put up because they actually help the community a lot more with, you know, you can see something that, you know, from mom-and-pop stores and rather than a Walmart because you're seeing we're buying a bunch of shit from China or wherever else and we're not really getting anything from it. Nothing.
Right. And that's the unfortunate part, you know. And so it's going to be real interesting how this whole Obamacare ends up playing, you know, a role with Walmart. You know, they're big on not giving their employees health insurance because they don't want them to work full time. They've told employees you need to go sign up for welfare benefits to get your health care. So you have people, you have families, like let's say a mother and a father working at Walmart, but they're forced to work part-time, and none of them have health insurance, so they're still forced to go into the system, and then the taxpayers are the ones footing the bill for that. So it's going to be really interesting, you know, what they do when Obamacare, you know, comes into play, because, you know, all the big corporations are not trying to pay that, you know, that health insurance with Obamacare.
You know, I remember what you told everybody about last week about Papa John's being a billionaire and pretty much being an ass because not only he got reelected, but they're not trying to pay their employees insurance.
Right.
That's why I'm not going to do anything on Black Friday. I'm cool.
Mm-hmm. I'll be working on Black Friday. And you know what's so crazy? It was really busy, you know, at my job today. Because, you know, we're preparing for Black Friday and we're making sure the systems are up and, you know, everything is basically running and whatever cameras are out, we're getting them back up. So it was really busy today at work. I wasn't even able to tweet or do nothing. You know, we had so much stuff we had to do to prepare for Black Friday, but on the back end of it, you know what I'm saying? Because people just think that it's just the stores, you're just going to the store, buying something, and you're getting hung up at the register, but they're not realizing there's a whole back end that keeps that register system running and functioning. If that shuts down, it causes a lot of chaos because it happened last year, you know. But it's going to be really interesting to see what happens this year. I mean, it's really crazy. But I don't know. I want to see if these people actually walk out. I think if they end up walking out during the busiest time, I don't know if it's going to make that big of a dent in, you know, in Walmart's profits or, you know, but I think it's going to be an eye-opener, and it's going to almost be like a small revolution, you know what I'm saying? Just a mini-revolution.
Yeah.
And it's basically the same, like, you know, we're not going to take this anymore.
Well, that's
so,
what
I mean,
that's what needs to be done, because a lot of times we've always talked about, you know, not buying either gas for a day or boycott certain places, but for some reason the message doesn't get out because you have people who still support the nonsense in spite of their business malpractices or just because. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens because there might be some talks even right now, even beforehand, before this came out, that Walmart might have a contingency plan too. So, who knows?
Right. So now, it's been a lot of crazy stuff going on in the news. So we're going to go ahead and talk about the whole Elmo situation. So if you guys haven't heard, I made two videos about this damn thing. So initially, the dude came out last week and said that Kevin Clash, the voice, the puppeteer of Elmo, had engaged with sexual relations with him before the age of 18. Then he recanted his story, okay? And my whole thing is, how can you recant your recant? You know what I'm saying? He recanted his story, then he came out and he recanted the recant and basically said, you know what, they paid me $125,000 to say that it was an adult relationship and I want my money. You know, he was like, I'll give you guys the money back. I stand by my story. And like I said, I felt like the only reason why he tried to come out and say that he was pressured is because people found out who he was. He got outed on the internet. People were threatening him and going in on him. So he decided to, you know, come out and say, no, you know what, this story is true. They paid me to shut me up. So later on that night, as I put the video up, it came out that there was a second accuser. And I don't know if you've seen these accusers, but, I mean, I don't know what he was thinking. The other one, I don't know if he had on a lace front wig or what the hell's wrong. But he done came out of nowhere. He says that he met him in a gay chat room when he was 15 years old and that he didn't have intercourse with him, but that, you know, he did some sexual things to him. He basically groomed him until he was old enough to have sex. You know, and he's suing for $5 million he's suing for?
Oh, Lord.
It was either, it's either $500,000 or $5 million. I got my figures mixed up. But it's almost like monkey see, monkey do. And he said that basically he's coming out to sue him. Now that he's seen the other accuser out there, he felt like he needs to speak up and have the other accusers back and let people know that Kevin Clash is engaging with underage clients. And then he came out today and told TMZ that he was happy that he resigned from Sesame Street. I don't believe that Kevin Clash resigned. I believe he was fired, but resigned is a nice way to say it because I think the sexual allegations, be it true or false, it was seen in Sesame Street's image. And that's something they can't have on the children's, you know, show. But it's a shame that, you know, this successful black man who has been the voice of Elmo for like the past, you know, 30-something years or however long Elmo's been on the air, has basically ruined his career. And you know what I've been noticing, you know, what people don't realize is sex is a powerful tool. Mm-hmm. Sex is very powerful. When you think about all the people who have gotten in trouble behind sex, first of all, when all this was going on with these little young boys, this man was married. He just only recently got divorced from his wife. So now we have two things. He's on the DL, and he's also, you know, grooming minors. And now that the second person has come out, I do believe he's coming out for money, but I do believe that, you know, it could have been a situation where he was grooming minors. You know, and somebody even said in the chat room, look at David Petraeus, and I was just about to say that, you know. And it's crazy how many people mess up things behind sex. Behind just trying to get that nut. You know what I'm saying? They lose, like, their fucking mind. And I think if he would have really sat and thought about it, like, yo, I'm hosting a children's show. I don't care about him being gay. That's his own personal preference. But the point is, mess with somebody around your own age. Why would you mess with some messy-ass teenager? You know what I'm saying? So it makes me look at him really, really side-eyed. What do you think about this entire situation?
When you say resigned or however they want to put in political correctness, he got fired. Same thing with the guy. Same thing with the dude that uppercutted that chick, which he was rightful to do. It's all about image. They don't want to lose. And especially when you have a show actually syndicated, and it's across the globe. It's a children's show. So it's not a good look to support one of the puppeteers who is, you know, besides his sexuality, but supposedly probing for children. I know it's bad, poor language, but like just out there just trolling for kids. It's not a good look for you. But again, you did bring up a solid point. What is really a nut really worth it? Like you're out there putting yourself out there, and you don't know how these people are. And again, it is kind of fucked up how someone can renege on what they said earlier. And like, no, they didn't count. I mean, I didn't take the money to be something, but, you know, he did touch me, but you fucked up there. I mean, it's like borderline extortion, really.
Right.
Extortion. So, I mean, again, the guy, the puppeteer, like, you know, has some wrongdoing because, again, you out there just putting yourself out there to be done because people can't wait to put your business out there, but still.
Right, and see, that's the thing. Times is hard. Like, you know what I'm saying? People are broke. People are struggling, and you worth millions of dollars, and you don't mess with me, and I have something over you. I think we're going to see a lot more of this coming out, you know, especially, like, with the whole David Petraeus situation, you know, with him. And honestly, y'all, not trying to be no funny, you know, mean person, but y'all admit in the chat room, his fucking wife is a hot-ass mess compared to his mistress. See, ladies, we got to keep it up. You know, the same way you got him, you can't just let yourself go. You know what I'm saying? Like, she, I was really shocked that that was his wife. She looked like his mother. Have you seen her picture?
You know what? I heard rumors. I didn't even see it yet, but the idea.
She looks like his mother. I was like, really? Okay, now I see why he was cheating with that little young thing over there.
But the whole idea is you're supposed to fuck up, not down. So, just.
All right.
Boy, that's a whole nother show.
I don't know. I was just shocked. I didn't know that's what his wife was. I mean, the way she was carrying herself, her clothes, her hair. I don't know if it was a wig. I don't know what the hell she had going on, but she looked a hot-ass mess. And I'm sitting here like, come on, your man got too much money for you to be looking like that. She should have hooked herself up. She should, you know, not saying that that's going to stop a man from cheating, because a man going to be a man, you know what I'm saying? If you're going to cheat, you're going to cheat. But it's just the point. You need to look just as good as a mistress, so that way we feel a little bit sorry for you. But she looked rough. I was like, you know what? I kind of understand why he went that route. But the messed up part is, though, y'all, is, you know, he's general portrayal. He shouldn't be, you know, I guess the whole thing why he's resigning is because it's like he might have been telling some secrets, you know, while they were having sex or whatever to the mistress. And, you know, we can't have national security.
Yeah, but, I mean,
you know,
we can't
have him giving out national security secrets. You know what I'm saying? So I understand why he resigned, but it's crazy what people are trying to do out here just to get on.
No, but you know what, T? It's like, this is no different than what happened to Patterson, Carmen Kilpatrick. Who's that one senator that went to South America for his little jump off? Y'all, it's not that serious. I mean, again, if y'all get married, you know, make sure she don't like the hamburger with fucking Shar Pei puppy skin. Just make sure you fucking know what you're getting into. I mean, I've seen Trez's wife, and in some ways I kind of understand. I mean, she looked whooped up. I mean, making all that money, there's no excuse. There's no fucking excuse.
She looked rough. She looked rough as hell. Like when John Edwards was cheating on his wife.
Oh,
Elizabeth Edwards. She was pretty, though. But, I mean, she was pretty. She was, you know, she cared herself well. She was doing a lot. And then she had cancer. So that was messed up. He done got somebody else pregnant and everything else. But I don't know. General Petraeus' wife looked real rough. I mean, I really thought it was his mama. Who's that old lady standing next to him looking all sad and shit? Oh, that's his wife. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Really? Shit.
Damn.
And then you see the mistress, and the mistress is all, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm. I mean,
but the whole situation is a mess. And she's a twin. She's a twin as well. The mistress is a twin. Her twin is being defended by Gloria Allred for some strange reason. They was on CNN the other night,
you know,
and she was crying about her twin.
I'm going to say something on that because, again, when Gloria Allred is involved in the shit, you know it's good.
You know she was going to come out of nowhere to defend somebody.
And she's just like an ambulance chaser. So if she's hearing this is Ronan saying this, fuck you. Now we can keep going.
No, look, G. Stewart in the chat room said Barack Obama better not ever cheat on Michelle. He better not. I think if he was to ever get caught cheating on Michelle, he would lose damn near all his black fan base, especially the black women.
Yeah.
And Michelle keeps herself up, so that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be, you know, on some funny stuff, but Michelle Obama's pretty. You know, she has a beautiful shape. She works out. She don't look her age. But Petraeus' wife,
But you know what, T, like, she is, you know, I had to admit it, she is actually showing it how it's supposed to be done. Keep yourself up. Do what you've been doing when you first met him. You'll be cool in most cases. But for some reason, it's when a chick or some dude hooks up with somebody, they figure, like, I got him. Fuck it. It's time to go fucking off the cliff. No.
And I can let it go. But you know what? That goes for guys, too. Don't get it twisted, boo. Sometimes you guys will get with a female. And at first, you was in the gym once a week, getting your workout on, pumping up your arms, getting that six pack. And then once you get your girl, all of a sudden, here comes a beer belly. You got to work out too. If I'm going to the gym and I'm working out twice a week, you need to be right behind me. If I'm looking good for you, you need to be looking good for me as well.
And you're right about that, because you know it makes no sense where you had a six pack, either male or female, and then all of a sudden, 3, maybe 6 months, or even a year later, you got junk in the fat in the front and the back. That shit ain't cool.
Damn, it's 3 years.
She ain't cool.
3 years, you as big as a house for no reason. You ain't even had no baby. Why are you so big, sir? I don't have all the children. Why are you so big? Why aren't you working out? What's your excuse?
You should not be looking like a 3 liter left in the refrigerator over the weekend. You shouldn't. So just keep it tight, keep it right, and you should be cool.
Right. And they're talking about in the chat room that Eddie Long was a prime example, basically, of grooming young boys. And he definitely was. I believe that he was a prime example of the whole situation, just like with Kevin Clash. Because as everybody knows, Eddie Long was messing with a lot of those young boys. He was cool with them. He was throwing their heads up with a lot of stuff. He was buying them gifts and everything else. And then it ended up coming out that basically he was grooming them. And once they turned 18, he pounced on them. So I think this may have been the case with Kevin Clash. He's already admitted to having, you know, sex with these dudes. So, I mean, 18 or 16, one is legal and one is illegal. But, again, at 40-something years old, you really don't need to be messing with an 18-year-old. Nothing good can come of that. So I think he was just kind of foolish.
But you got to look at the position, too. It's like both Eddie Long and, you know, Mr. Clash, they were in influential positions. You know, you had Eddie, who was in a church where people come to for spiritual healing and everything else. And he had Clash. He was, you know, teaching children who are impressionable. Same, it's similar. They have the similarities. So, of course, you know, once you have someone doing what they do, they're going to take, you know, they're going to take the hit that much harder, if not more. So,
right,
I understand.
Right.
Long
yeah, that's true. It's just certain people, they're going to hold you to a better, you know, they're going to hold you to a more moral, you know, astute status. You know what I mean? If it's just a 47-year-old crackhead up the street and he's messing with 18-year-old boys, don't nobody care.
Yeah.
But if you're the puppeteer for Elmo, that's going to raise some eyebrows. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you're cheating on your wife and you just Joe Schmo the mechanic, don't nobody care. But if you're
right.
David Petraeus, people going to take that more seriously. You know, so you're right, it definitely is your position, you know, and like with Eddie Lyon being a pastor, you just expect a little bit more. You expect more from somebody in that position, you know, whereas, I mean, granted, everybody should have some, should be able to carry themselves a certain way and not cheat on their spouse and all this and that. But again, we're not going to look at the regular dude down the street, you know, with that same glance as you would look at somebody who's in more position of power, in my personal opinion.
Well, there's another thing you got to add is, like, when they settle out of court, that's not a good look either. It just isn't. Because in some ways, it's like an admission of guilt. You know, just here, take your money, hush up about it, and go away. But, yeah, that doesn't look good either, especially, you know, in those certain positions. Or when someone has to resign, you know, that you kind of put a black eye on yourself. So that's why, like, it's very imperative to be cautious about the decisions you make, especially if people are looking up to you and at you.
Right. You're right about that. And that's why I said, you know, like, people don't realize, like, sex is a powerful tool. You know, people, how many guys have, you know, and women have been caught up just because they're running behind some ass? I mean, literally. So it is. It's a very powerful thing. So I think people just need to be smarter. You know, do what you do. But just be mindful of who you do it with. Because I know he's kicking himself in the ass.
Yeah.
I know he is. Because even if these boys were 18 and it was legal, it still makes people look at him funny. You know, like he was just way too old to be messing with these. And then to look at the guys, I mean, they're a hot mess. You could tell they did not have Kevin Clash money. You know, like they look like they're struggling right now. So it's like, why were you even messing with somebody that's nowhere near your level?
Yeah.
He could have had some, you know, gay businessman at PBS who had, you know, all types of money, and they were basically on the same level, same mentality, and were able to carry themselves a certain way. But when you're just messing with some random, you know, kid from a chat room, you know, you kind of get whatever you pick up. So I think that's where he messed up, you know. And the sad part is poor Elmo was affected by this.
Yeah.
You know, poor Elmo. Yeah, he wasn't on Sesame Street today from what I heard. They said he's depressed. He's been chilling in Oscar's trash can. So he's depressed. I'm like, damn, that's messed up. It's crazy.
Put the gun down.
I I hope he don't kill nobody. But, you know, I think in certain situations, you know, like Michael Jackson, they're talking about Michael Jackson in the chat room, you know, settling out of court makes sense because sometimes you just don't want to be bothered with the whole litigation and just everything else. You just want to pay for it to go away. But then it can backfire because once you pay somebody off, then you're going, you know, basically you're calling the wolves to come to you because then here goes the next person with the next made-up story. And especially if he was out there really doing dirt, you're going to have to be prepared to pay.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened with this case. You know, they don't find out that he paid that other boy $125,000, so now here comes the next dude wanting $500,000. You know, that's crazy.
Well, there's another angle.
He's probably going to end up paying it.
Well, there's another angle to the paying out of selling out of court because a lot of people more or less can't get away with slander if you think about it. Because, like, again, you had to do, you know, redig on his statement and you have any other so-called accusers come out. Some people just do it because of trying to strong-arm you into a position to, you know, comply with them. And you, when you go don't go along, they go public. So you got to figure that, you know, aspect of the situation too. Now, there's a lot of people didn't say they were Michael Jackson, and I have to say too that he did anything like that, you know, because I've seen the interview where he was like, you know, a kid trapped in a 45-year-old man's body at the time. And,
right.
You know, you have to fault the parents who've been sitting there leaving their kids at Mike's house. Don't know what right-thinking parent is going to leave with another grown-ass person by themselves. I just don't understand why people don't even talk about that part. But, you know, again,
people were saying that, though. They were like, well, why is a 15-year-old boy going in a gay chat room?
Right.
But, I mean, I don't understand the difference because I know straight boys who be in sex chat rooms. You know, I think people try to make it more serious because it's, you know, because it's a gay situation. But I don't think anybody would be asking why a 15-year-old boy is in a porn chat room if it was a straight, you know, if it was like a male-female.
Well, nothing.
Let's keep it real. Let's not act like you wasn't watching porn when you were 15. Let's keep it 100.
Well, I mean, you're right. You're right about it. Because, I mean, you think about it back then, our parents were on our ass about shit. We really couldn't get away with too much. Now, it's
right.
Parents chasing their own childhood, so basically the kids are doing whatever the hell they want to do. Or you got parents trying to be their kids' friends instead of their parents. So,
right.
You know, they're doing any and everything. Like, they know more stuff than adult people do, which they shouldn't, but that's where we're at now.
Right. You know, like, I'm not shocked at all by a 15-year-old being in a little gay chat room. I remember before they got rid of that adult section on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. I don't even know how the hell I ended up in that section. I was looking for something. And all of a sudden, it was just like, I don't know how I got in the section. I wasn't looking for no peen. But it was like I just ended up in that section some way, somehow. I was looking for something, but not that. And it was just like literally like just, you know, people just with they nuts and berries out. Like, you know, meet me on the south side. You know, call me at this number. Like, what did I do to that? I was not looking for sex.
Meet me at the truck.
They're talking shit in the chat room. I did not have to go on Craigslist to look for some ass.
I'll be wearing the
Moochie. I didn't even know they had like that. I heard about the adult section, but like I said, I don't know if I clicked the wrong link. I don't know if I put in the wrong search. But all of a sudden, it was just like, you know, just peeing all over the screen, and people had their numbers, their emails. I mean, so it's like, no shame. You know what I'm saying? They had the whole package right there, and then I was like, damn. And I don't know. They laughing at me in the chair.
See, we want to know, like, did you call that number 1-800-P on me?
I did not call the number, but I was just shocked at how blatant it was. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to say, you know, I'm looking, you know, to hook up or I'm looking for a man or a woman. But it's another thing to just, you know, just have your nuts and berries in hand. Like, this is a package. This is a size. Take it or leave it. I mean, it was just blatant. I like it from the top. I like it from the bottom. Call me at this number. I mean, just blatant, you know, prostitution and just hooking up. So I could definitely understand how a kid can get lost in there, in that type of environment.
I want you to meet me at the Hotel Six at the overpass. Bring some bubble wraps or some thigh-high boots.
I mean, I guess my whole thing is, y'all laughing at me, but for real, my whole thing is I'll be scared to, like, just, you know, meet somebody randomly off of the internet, like off of Craigslist. You know, like, I've done, like, you know, the whole dating thing, like, you know, online dating sites, stuff like that. And, you know, you meet out in public places and, you know, go out to eat. I've done that before, you know. But as far as, like, you know what that person wants, this is, you know, you want this, he wants that. We're meeting up strictly for sex at some seedy hotel room on the north side. That would just scare the hell out of me. Because you don't know who that person is. What if they kill you? You know, if this is a 15-year-old dude, like the one dude said, he didn't even realize. You are so stupid for writing that in the chat room. This is not AOL. Talking about ASL. But like the one dude said he didn't even know Kevin Clash was the voice of Elmo until many years later. So it's like you don't know who you're hooking up with. And I think that's part of the lure when guys with like money and power, you know, end up on like a Craigslist or like in the chat room, because, you know, you're just going to go meet a random person. Whereas if it's somebody that knows you, then you have to be more discreet, you have to be more demure. But he can just be any type of character online and then meet that person. So I think a lot of people do this. You know, well, y'all got jokes. Just stick to Pornhub. Stay out of the damn adult chat room section. I was shocked, though. Like, they took it down, the, you know, the adult, you know, sex thing on Craigslist. And I was surprised when I ended up in there. I'm like, damn, this is just on Craigslist next to the furniture? So you can look for a couch and get banged on a couch? Where they do that at? Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, Craigslist was off the chain that night. I was like, wow. No shame.
Well, I guess we live and we learn, don't we?
Yes, sir. Oh, this is too much. Like I said, I don't know what he's going to do, but his career is over. You know, I don't feel bad for him. I mean, at first I was like, dang, that's messed up. He's getting accused of something. But, you know, I think he was messing with them. I think he was grooming those kids, you know. So, Jamal's talking about the chick on eBay that was auctioning off her virginity. Do you believe that bitch was a virgin?
Nope.
Neither do I.
No. You know what? She might have said, you know, I'm a virgin. You know, I only take it in the butt. You know, just or she only give me this stuff. She's not a virgin. She wasn't a virgin.
Who was talking about that on one show where girls be trying to sweep them down? They virgins, but they do everything else. You just haven't had intercourse, but they've done anal, they've done oral. So I'm like, but you want to act like you're better than other people because you're a virgin, but you've done everything else. Like, I thought when you were a virgin, you can't have no sexual contact, period.
No, you can't.
Or has it changed in 2012?
In 2012, it changed to their opinion, but really when you are abstinent, you are completely abstinent. You are not engaging in sexual activity, no hand jobs, no oral sex, anal, vaginal, none of that mess. So all them technicalities that people are out there throwing out. There's a porn
star. I'm a
virgin.
I just like to get ate out. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, that don't work. Either you a virgin or you not. Like, I don't understand that.
And you know
people really go up and down like they virgins, but they really like, but they get hit every weekend. Like, no, you're not a virgin.
No, you're not. And there's a porn star out there who has this claim that she's a virgin, but she's taking the ass and she's doing all kinds of other shit. So, yeah, that's what you call a virgin. That's bullshit. You're not a virgin.
Do you think now they said that it auctioned off for like $755K or something like that? Her virginity. You know, a lot of people had a lot to say about it. A lot of girls are mad. You know, they're like, you know, that's disgraceful. You know, like Christianity, you know, your virginity is supposed to be sacred, things like that. Do you think some people are just mad that they didn't think of it first?
actually, I think a lot of them are mad because they underbid it, so, you know, and couldn't find no one to pay that money. I wouldn't pay no damn near $1 million just at a shot of proposed virgin ass. That's just not angle.
Right. I mean, unless you grew up with her from the time she was born and kept her in a damn cage, how do you know that she's really a virgin? I mean, let's be real. You know what I'm saying? Like, that don't even sound right, and I don't even understand, like, why things like this are becoming more and more popular.
Hey, You know,
I love
you know
people,
what I,
you know, lose their virginity over, you know, $10 meal at Red Lobster or some shit, if you're lucky.
You know what? I'll admit this. I had a chick who gave herself up for a bacon sandwich and no bread. So, you know what? That the whole
that dude
who paid almost $1 million for a rumored virgin, you are the thirstiest simp ever.
Right. That's what they said in the chat room. Thirstiness at its finest. You know,
yeah.
To me, I'm not. That don't sound right at all. Because I think someone who's truly a virgin is going to respect themselves a lot more to want to, you know, lose their virginity to somebody who appreciates it. You know what's so crazy, though?
Yeah.
This person I know, and they shall remain, you know, remain nameless. And they're a sweetheart. I really love them. But they were 26, and they're a virgin. You know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, in every sense of the word, like, I don't even feel like this girl was doing anything. Like, you know, all, or, you know, I don't know. I'm not with her. But I really feel like she was, like, the virgin. And, you know, she recently told me that she lost her virginity. You know, she's 26. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, first of all, I don't even know nobody that old who's a virgin. But I'm like, wow, you know, that's amazing. Like, you know, that I didn't even realize you were a virgin. Like, you know, congrats, I guess. You know, I don't know. So, but, you know, I was proud of her like she could wait that long. You know, that's amazing. And I said, so, you know, I was just asking. I was like, so now, you know, you have your boyfriend and, you know, y'all going to get married. What you going to do? And she was like, well, you know, we're not technically together. He said he still wants to be friends. He's not sure what he wants to do. I'm like, what? Like, I literally wanted to pull my hair out because I'm like, baby girl, like, you waited so long. Why would you not make him commit? Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Like, it just, like, I was sad. You know, like, it was my, like, I was wasting my virginity or something. Like, I was sad. Like, you know, like, I felt like, you know, he should have held his feet to the fire, like, because she, you know, she said that was her issue, like, she would get with a guy, and she really liked him, and then the dude would end up leaving her, like, after a month, like, you know, well, you a virgin, you're not trying to get me nothing, I gotta go, and dudes are like that, you know, because when I did the whole celibacy thing for 2 years, you know me, I used to call you crying, you know, I used to be in fucking tears, like, you know, what the hell, it's like, that's all guys want, you know, but I just was not comfortable at that time, you know, sleeping with nobody, I just did not want to be bothered with no guys in that, you know, way. So I understood it, you know what I'm saying, when I went celibate for 2 years. I really understood it, how it is hard. And then when you finally meet someone that you really, really like, how it's hard to, like, you know, have that boundary with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just shocked when she told me that. And I was just like, and so she's like, she really likes him and she wants to, you know, she wants that to be her man. But how do you go back? And I'm asking you as a guy because I wanted to kind of figure out what to tell her because she was asking. She's like, well, did I mess up? What should I do? So in that case, you know, do you think that she should have asked for more commitment, you know, regardless if she was a virgin or not? Because I think sometimes when you just sleep with a guy and you're not telling them nothing, like, okay, well, are we in a relationship? I'm just not going to sleep with you, you know what I'm saying, just to be sleeping with you. I want a commitment from you. I think when you do that backwards, it makes the guy kind of be like, nah, I'm cool. I already got it down. Why pay for the milk when I can get it free?
Well, as a guy and who's in pretty much into his involuntary whole sabbatical, what I can say is when you're with a dude, you have to look for a guy who's genuine, who is looking for more than just what's between your legs or what you can do on the bed. I mean, you have to give him the opportunity to allow his words and his action work in concert. If a person says one thing and does something completely different, that should throw up a red flag. If all they're on is what you look like on their arm, or they're not into you like they should be. Like, they should be, like, finding out what makes you tick for, you know, for genuine purpose. Like, really see, like, tell you or show you that, you know, they can see a future or long-term things with you, not just short term or what's on the weekend. Again, like, you adding sex to the equation can complicate things, but it depends on the person's mindset. But actually, when you find out what you have with a guy, and you're able to build trust and genuine intimacy, that's when you have something, you know, solid. you know, other than that, if you ask this person, like, you know, I'm looking for this in a relationship or whatever, and they can't honestly answer that, or they have to tell you like they're not into that, that should let you know. But 9 times out of 10, you're having a lot of people trying to strong arm them to what they feel they should be, instead of allowing them to be what you're genuinely supposed to be. So I remember when you did the your time away from some late night gymnastics, you know what you were right to do. You're pretty much doing the vetting process. You were asking questions like, okay, is there anything you see in me other than, you know,
some big ass titties? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something different.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, if they can't see you anything other than a fetish, they're not worth the time. I'm just going to tell you straight up. You know,
right.
If you can't stimulate, I mean, cause if you can't stimulate my mind, which is the most important sex organ in the body, then why am I here? If I can just call you up on the weekend, meet up at the hotel, do all that, and you're just living to that, can't expect much else. So what can I mean, the bottom line is, like, when you look at a person, can you actually ask yourself and answer the question, like, seeing this person, like, can I really see a future with this person? If I lay down with this person and happen to get pregnant, would I have any animosity towards it, or would I embrace it? You got to ask yourself some real serious hard-nosed questions, but most people don't do that. They, you know, figure like, oh, this person's cute. All that stuff I'm supposed to ask them, I'll ask them later. That does no good. So that's just me being really honest with it.
Right. Yep, it's crazy, you know, but I was proud of her, though, for holding off as long as she did. You know, 26, that's what's up. You know, and I just hope that, you know, that her and the guy end up being together, because she really likes him, and he seems like a cool guy from what she's described, and hopefully he's not a jerk who's in it just, you know what I'm saying, to get some. You know how some guys are, but, you know, like I told her, you know, she shouldn't feel bad. I mean, it's you know, she's an adult. She made an adult decision, and, you know, it is what it is. She wanted to wait until marriage, but it just seemed like that wasn't on the horizon. So she just finally decided to, you know, go through with it and stuff like that. But, you know, I definitely wasn't going to make her feel bad about it. But I just felt bad because it was like, you know, I knew she really liked him. And so I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm just happy for her, like, oh, so, you know, y'all are a couple now, y'all are official. And she's like, no. I'm like, what? You know, that kind of threw me. Like, that hurt me, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I think she'll be all right. She'll be all right.
Well, here's the thing we need to look at, because, like, I've seen this on both genders. Like, you have to find out, do you like the person or do you like their representative? Because some people will actually send their representative to the altar with you, and then you see the real motherfucker once you say, I do. Then, like, a few weeks or even a few hours later, like, I'm fucking done. Because this is not the person I fell in love with. You fell in love with the representative. Because, again, in order to have intimacy, you have to have a level of trust where you can be yourself. If a person can accept you, you know, for not just your flaws, but actually the attributes that are greater than what you have physically or financially or any material type thing, if they can, I mean, there's a way that people see you, but they don't see you. They see...
Right.
Again, it's like there's a lot of people who are with someone who are just basically, you know, their personal fetish, not an asset to them. So male or female, you have to start asking questions about. And personally, I think, you know, in your own respective way, you have to ask a dude or a woman, what do you bring to the table besides your penis, your pussy, and your problems? If you can't answer that. If you can't answer that honestly, you know, why am I talking to you?
All right.
That's what it comes
down
to.
That's what they're saying in the chat room. Jay Stewart was saying that you have a lot of people out here who do. They'll have kids with somebody and they don't know them. And then they end up hating them. You know, they end up hating the baby's father, baby's mother. Then they take it out on the kids. And it is. It's a shame. It's like sometimes you don't know people. And I think we just live in a society now where sex is just so lax. And I feel like it's so hypocritical, you know, to get on kids about certain shit. Like, I mean, talk to your kids, of course, but it's like the stuff that they're being fed, though, is just crazy. So we want to tell girls to respect themselves and, you know, stay a virgin until you're married and, you know, to be a virgin is a great thing. But then you have bitches selling their virginity on eBay. And you have chicks selling their virginity. The one chick sold hers to pay for low-income housing. Like, come on.
Wait, it's in the chat room.
He just posted the link. VH1 actually posted the link. She sold her virginity to help pay for to help get her out of low-income housing.
So
in Brazil.
She's pretty lady.
Pretty
don't matter. If you gonna turn yourself into prepaid pussy, it don't matter.
Right. I'm just saying, I'm not no hater. She's a cute girl. What I'm just saying though, it's just like, damn. And the current bid is started at $160,000 and it's gonna be donated to get all these, I guess, Brazilian people out of public housing, low income housing. You know, so that's the thing. It's like, what kind of message is that sending to young girls? You know, respect yourself, be a virgin until you're married, until you find the right guy. But in the meantime, you know, feel free to auction off your stuff to the highest bidder as well. That's not a problem.
You know, T.
You know, that's some bullshit.
I hear a lot of people say, you know, the guy's handsome and they overlook some stuff, or, you know, dudes says she's fine or she got a fat ass, but you got to look a little bit further. Because how can you have someone say, you need to respect me, when you are selling your ass on the internet for low income housing, or it's basically prostitution? How can I respect
right.
that when you, like, you know, well, for the lowest bidder, you can have a free night with me. I know I got about, you know, 2,030 dick miles, but I'm cool. No.
Right, see, that's what I don't understand. Like, let me ask y'all in the chat room, because everybody's going in on her for selling her stuff for low-income housing. But, okay, so that's what I don't understand. Like, would this not be considered a form of prostitution?
Yes, it is.
Because if we were to meet on Craigslist and I say, give me, you know, $100 for a good time, you know, I can get arrested by an undercover police officer. You know what I'm saying? But then a chick can go on eBay and option off her virginity for $700,000. Okay, isn't that the same thing? And she's getting way more money than the chick on Craigslist. Now they're talking about the mileage of her coochie. Y'all so stupid. But it's the truth, though. I mean, it's almost like I don't understand. Like, we live in a very hypocritical society. Like, that just makes no sense to me. So they spend all this manpower on busting prostitutes on the street and on Craigslist. And a lot of the stuff is between grown folks. I mean, I feel like this, if you're grown and you want to have money exchange hands for a good time, as long as he's grown and she's grown, y'all do y'all. That's your money. You free to do what you want to do with your money. And if you want to pay for some ass, that's on you. I could care less. You know what I'm saying? But I do have a problem with people thinking it's okay to sell their virginity on the internet. But then in the same breath, we're telling girls to hold off and wait, and that's the right thing, and you know, give your virginity to your husband. But then you have these chicks on the internet selling coochie, you know what I'm saying, for $100,000 or whatever, however much the amount is for low income housing for a brand new Altima. I mean, that it's ridiculous to me. It doesn't make any sense. It's just legalized prostitution. So I mean, my thing is, why stop the chick on Craigslist as opposed to the chick on eBay? What's the difference?
Nothing different. It really ain't nothing
right.
different. Media. And basically how the media perceives it, you know, that's another key element, because sometimes they'll gloss that shit over, and then on certain demographics, they'll label people, you know, as a scarlet letter out there, like you're a whore and all that mess. So, again, no one said anything when, you know, Paris Hilton was out there having, like, her little shitty-ass porno, you know.
Right.
You know, but someone else, like, say, like, you or me get put out there, they're going to throw everything in the book at us. So, yeah, there is that hypocrisy. And to those virgins out there, y'all can wait, because they don't tell you about the bullshit that comes with it. They don't.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot that comes with sex, right, especially if you're pregnant or, you know, everything else. And Ackman said he or she, I don't know if it's a guy or girl, but they said they lost their virginity at 16. It was a terrible thing, pound, redo. I think a lot of people, you know, if they had the chance to do it over, they would. Somebody said that they lost theirs at 12. I'm going to need you to take a seat.
Yeah.
Did that person really?
Yes, that person really did.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, okay. So that's XL ATL. I didn't realize that was you. Shout out to XL ATL. Check her out on YouTube. So, yeah, 12 is kind of young, boo. My son is 12. I can't imagine my son, you know what I mean, getting down.
Hey.
I don't even want to picture that.
No, just maybe.
And you know what's so crazy? You know, I was telling you when we were talking that one time, and I was like, you know, like it's crazy because some of my friends' daughters, you know, they're all about the same age now, you know, 11, 12, 13, that age. And, you know, some of my friends' kids are like feeling my son. You know,
yeah.
It's like I'm not feeling that. You know what I'm saying? Like, stay in your place. I don't even want to go there with our kids, you know, looking at each other no type of way. And my son ain't into all that right now. Like, he's really not. I don't think he is. I mean, I talked to him, but he's not. I mean, he has his little girlfriend girls that he talks to and stuff, but he don't have no girlfriend or nothing like that. But,
right.
You know, like I said, I think girls mature quicker. So it's like they kind of come at him a little bit stronger. And I be watching him. You know, I'm like that crazy mama. Fall back. I ain't got no shotgun. But, you know, it's like, I leave my baby alone. You know, he's still young. Right. Nobody, look, they're in the chat room talking about 12. That's crazy. No judgment. Ain't going to judge you. I mean, right. Stuff happens. I know people who've lost their virginity as young as 10. So, I mean, but I think when you're that, the person in the chat room, we're not going to put you on blast, who said that they lost their virginity at 12, did you lose it to another 12-year-old? Was it a way older person?
Okay, I'm going to put it out there. All right. At 12.
I want to try to put you on blast.
No, it's cool because, again, like at 12, at that age, you know, when you have a babysitter and all that, you worry about cartoons, He-Man, and, you know, playing with your friends and video games, and then that gets thrown on you. So it was a little confusing at times, you know, and, again, she disappeared. I know my mom wasn't having that shit, but still, there's children who've lost it at younger ages. So,
well, I don't understand. Who disappeared? The babysitter?
Yeah.
You lost it to the babysitter?
Yeah.
So this bitch was supposed to be watching you, and she was watching you in a sexual way. I should beat her ass. The hell?
Yeah.
How old was she?
18 or 19, one or two.
Oh, baby, no. That is not losing your virginity. That was child molestation.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
and I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but you know what, because I've had, you know, what I noticed with a lot of my homeboys who lost their virginity at like 13 and under, that's why I asked you, was the girl 12 or 13 or was she older? Every single case, no lie, has always been with the older female. You know what I'm saying? Like all my homeboys who don't lost their virginity at 11, 12, 13, it's always been with a babysitter or a neighbor. One of my little nephews, he lost his virginity at, what was he, 13 or 14. And people was acting like it was cool. And then when I found out the chick was 17, I wanted to lay my foot off in her ass because I'm like, you know, this is crazy. If this was a 17-year-old man sleeping with a 13 or 14-year-old girl, he'd be locked up. There would be no room for error. You know what I'm saying? But it seems like when it happens to a young boy, you know, people want to give that boy props. But that messes with that kid as they get older because I know a lot of my homeboys, they kind of, you know, it kind of messed them up because being that young. You know, I know somebody who told me one time they lost their virginity at 8, you know, to a grown woman. So some of these women out here are sick.
And that's the whole damning thing about it, because as a young man, you know, once you try to tell somebody about that, you have people say, you know, pretty much I encourage you, you should be proud, or they don't really do too much on it because they figure, oh, you know, he's a boy, he'll grow out of that. Some boys, you know, don't recover from that mess. They either go to a complete resentment or fear of women, or they'll, you know, be outright abusive, or they'll be all kind of different things that most people tend to overlook. Now, when it's a girl, you got people carrying pitchforks and torches ready to hit and kill this dude. So, you know, you'll have chicks who actually end up being turned out and looking to have sex as a mean of expression of love, or you'll have women who, become frigid. There's all kind of things that can happen because, like, again, they always talk about the whole catch a predator, how it's always – they put this thing out there like there's men out there who are just out there serial rapists and fear men and everything like that, but no one talks about the teachers and all these different family members and everything who go out and rape these boys or actually young girls. You know, so they don't say anything about that because that would be a bad look. So it is kind of a very disturbing double standard that goes out there because on Catch a Predator, there should be some chicks out there, especially in the classroom, because there are some teachers out there who, not too long ago, who got five boys from the football team, bought them beer and everything like that, and she allowed him to run a train. No, she allowed them to run a train on her.
Right. So, oh, yeah, some of these women are just as devious, you know, and that's why, you know, a lot of some, like, sometimes, like, when I, you know, when I'm out with my son, whatever, you know, my baby's cute. He's, you know, he's getting older now, damn near the same height. But it's like, you know, sometimes we'll go out and, you know, girls my age, oh, your son is cute. Oh, girl, I can, if he's that cute now at 12, wait till he's 16, 17.
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm his mama, and you my age. I'm going to need you to fall back a bit. Don't come at my son like he a grown man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a kid. So all that little cute stuff, rubbing on his face and, you know, playing through his hair, I don't play that. Because some of these girls out here just as trifling as these dudes, and they be looking at your sons, and women need to wake up and realize that. Some of these women out here be plotting on your boys, you know, and it's not cool. I think we need to protect all our babies, you know what I'm saying, male and female. Because so many times, like, you're right, we focus on the girls, and we're always like, you know, poor girl, and, you know, and I don't know if I really want to discuss how, you know, I lost my virginity on the radio. I mean, a few people know because I spoke about it, I think. Was it in the video that I spoke about it? I think I did. If you go back and watch that Facebook, the video about me getting kicked off of Facebook, why I have my issues with pedophiles and things like that, because I've been through a lot. And a lot of you guys know because I've had private conversations with y'all, you know, outside of you know, YouTube and stuff like that. So I've been through a lot. You know, I don't want to really go into the whole dynamics of what happened to me. Y'all can let y'all's imagination run wild. I really could care less. I love when people assume. But, you know, it's no joke. People are out here to hurt your kids, and sometimes you think it's a family friend and you can trust them with your child, and speaking from firsthand experience, that's not always true. You know, it's not always true. Sometimes it's that family friend who will take your child's identity, you know. So it's a sick world that we live in, and so many of us have been through abuse, you know, molestation, physical abuse, sexual abuse, you know, and so many times we brush under the rug, especially in the black community, you know.
Yeah.
It's brushed under the rug, and you're just told to, you know, oh, well, you know, brush it off your shoulders and toughen up, you're a boy, and, you know, now you're a man, and it's like, nah, like, it's not cool. Like, I mean, one of my subscribers, and we've been cool for like the past 3 years, you know, he's a male, and he went through a sexual abuse situation when he was young, you know, like 12, 13, and he was raped by another male. I want to say it was his stepfather, uncle, something like that, but it was a trusted male, and it's like, I mean, he really has not been right since. Like, he's been going through a lot. I check in on him every now and then, and you know, it's hard for him to keep relationships, and he doesn't know if he's gay or straight. And, you know, so things happen to people, and it can really mess them up for life. People don't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad. It can really mess them up for life.
Well, that's the one of the many elephants in the room that people like to walk around and act like it's not there. You know, especially in the black community where you're told, like, whatever happens in this house stays in this house, and they reinforce it. So whenever you speak on something, either you're met with disbelief or animosity to where if it ever happens again, you feel hopeless at a time, like, you know what, like, they don't care, or, you know, I don't have anyone to go to. This is how it's going to be. So, you know, again, it's like that in that environment, that allows a lot of unchecked baggage to manifest. And that's why there's some men and women who are out there, for lack of a better word, pretty fucked up out there because they haven't exercised those demons or haven't been allowed to. So they allow it to masquerade as a strength, and really in facing that and getting over it, that's the strength that you need. You know, so I understand where you was coming from with, you know, the situation, because again, it's a very tragic part of your development. You don't ever wish that on people because, like, your whole perspective on life and people change dramatically. You don't know which way it's
right.
going to turn.
Jamal was saying in the chat room, he was saying in the chat room that he notices that when boys lose their virginity really young, they end up being sex addicts or wanting to have sex all the time. You think that's true?
Yeah. It actually depends on the psychological makeup and the individual itself. For me, I was, like, afraid for a while. And then after a while, like, in time, like, talking to family and, you know, people about it, you know, and even my mother had talked to somebody about it, which I appreciate greatly. I was able to deal with a lot of things. But most people, you know, don't give themselves the opportunity or not allow the opportunity to do it. So they'll end up harboring some, you know, twisted responses to their situation. Because again, a lot of times you find a lot of different ailments come up. Some might develop sleeping disorders or personality quirks, you know, that are uncommon. It's a really multi-layered onion when you think about it in there. Because most people don't want to talk about it because it'll bring up some real bad memories. Or some people are living that memory right now. There's a lesbian, I think I remember, and I've been told this, like, she listened to one of my shows a long time ago, like, Broken Dolls, and she was molested for, like, ever since she was young all the way to, like, damn near her 30s, and she didn't know what to do. So,
right.
I mean, again, this is one of the many things that we should be able to be strong enough to face, because, yeah, it's hard as shit to talk about certain things, because there's some real ugly secrets that out there. It can really tear a family apart.
I remember Louis Farrakhan was talking. He had did a speech not too long ago. It was real good too. I listened to a lot of stuff he be saying sometimes. I watched one of his videos on YouTube, and he was talking about how incest is becoming very prevalent in the Black community now. And that wasn't something that we did, you know what I'm saying? But now it seems like it's happening more and more. Or maybe, you know, it may have happened before, but you just didn't have internet and things like that. And if you guys remember in the chat room, I had did a video about 2 weeks ago about the girl in South Carolina who her dad began raping her at like 11, 12 years old, and she ended up getting pregnant at 13. And because she was so young, you're 13, you don't know your body. So she ended up getting pregnant. She didn't know she was pregnant. She ended up passing out at school. They took her to the emergency room, and the girl was fully at full term. She ended up giving birth to her little brother slash her son. And it's been 10 years, and this fool is still not in prison. They gave him a year probation. They claim they lost the paperwork. So he's basically out here to be able to molest, you know, other people's kids. So it's crazy because that's an incest situation. That was her real father. That wasn't her stepfather. That wasn't her play father. That was her blood father, and she ended up having his child. So it does happen out here, and I think we need to stop, you know, making it so shameful. And putting that stigma out there like it's the victim's fault, and especially making it seem like it's okay when the woman is the perpetrator, because it's not okay. I mean, I hate when I see situations where, like, you know, if it's a male teacher messing with a 16-year-old, he goes to jail for 20 years. It doesn't matter if she consented, if she was in love with him, if they had a love affair and they really wanted to be with each other. No questions asked. Don't pass go. Go straight to jail. Now, if it's a female teacher messing with the dude, there's all types of stuff. Oh, she was depressed. Her husband wasn't paying her enough attention. She was raped as a child. Right, it's all these excuses. Throw that bitch in jail right along with the male teacher. She should be doing 30 years, too. You got Mary Kay Letourneau. That broad had two babies, you know what I'm saying, by the kid that she was molesting. Yeah. I mean, now they're together, but it's crazy because she's been sleeping with that boy since he was 13 years old. You know, so it's almost like we make excuses when it's women, and it's really, really sad.
And it's really messed up that when you have a serious issue that has been going for who knows how long, I want to say centuries or even further, and you got people who are intentionally ready to sweep down the rug because they're not even ready to face the consequences of these actions. Like, how do you tell your child that, you know, it wasn't your uncle or your daddy or your aunt. You know, what happened, that didn't happen. And you have your child. I mean, how you feel as a child when you have your parents say they don't believe you? If that isn't post-traumatic stress in itself at a young age, I mean, you can, I believe there's cases that you can suffer that outside the military. And that's why we have a lot of this dysfunction and disorder in the family unit, what's left of it, you know, today. Because you got too many people who, like, gloss over something that happened to you when you're worried about My Little Pony and, you know, Barbie, and then you have someone force themselves on you. Your whole life changes. Your childhood usually is shattered to a degree. And it takes maybe people years or decades to even pick up the pieces. That's a whole lot of damage in time. Because, I mean, like, yeah, they may physically mature, but there's that arrested development that most people often discount. And especially if you're a guy, you have people, it's a real confusion, like, where you know, like, they're in some ways kind of cheering you on. Yeah, man, how you feel? I feel fucked up. Like, this ain't supposed to happen. I'm worried about, you know, playing Pac-Man and this shit. What's up with that? So a lot of people say, well, you know, you're a boy, suck it up or whatever. A lot of, we're taught as men, as young boys, to kind of lean towards logic and set aside, control your emotion. But when you have something thrown on you like that, that really has some collateral damage that we had to suppress. And a lot of times it's taken out on innocent bystanders later on down the road. Something might trigger that to come out. And then you start seeing, you know, guys being abusive or whatever to what they're doing. So, again, this is a subject that most people tend to gloss over and like, oh, well, I don't want to talk about it. And I understand reasons why. But in order to heal from this stuff, you have to address it. That's where the strength comes from.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. It's a lot of good discussions going on in the chat room as well. You know, they've been talking about how a lot of times in the Black community, people don't like to deal with or talk about mental illness. And that's very true. You know, Jamal had brought that up, and it's very true that people don't, you know, which is unfortunate. But this was a really good debate. We got about 12 minutes left. Dang, the hour and a half will be flying by. So we're down to, like, our last 12 minutes. So, you know, we did get onto a really good subject, and I hope people take some information away from that. So before we leave, I want to talk about Jesse Jackson Jr. resigning his Congress seat as of today. So I don't know if you guys were aware of that, but Jesse Jackson Jr., he hasn't done shit in the past 4 months. He's been sick. He checked himself into the Mayo Clinic. Then it came out that he's bipolar and he's been battling that. But on top of that, he's under a federal investigation for how he was using his campaign funds. They're saying that he was using the campaign funds to furnish his $2 million condo, buy furniture and all types of other stuff. So he ended up quitting. So, not quitting, but he ended up resigning. But a lot of people are saying, you know, will criminal charges be brought against him? Because it's clearly evident that he did use that campaign money for illegal reasons, you know, because you're never supposed to touch it and you're not supposed to use it for personal reasons. So a lot of people are saying that, you know, because he's Jesse's son, he's not going to have any criminal charges brought against him. He'll probably just get some type of deal. And basically, you know, Illinois is just, because he's a U.S. senator in Illinois, and it just seems like so many of the politicians there are just so corrupted. I mean, it's really crazy. It's like, you know, from the top to the bottom, it's nothing but corruption. I remember when it first came out that he was trying to buy that last senator, the one with the hair, I forgot his name, but he was trying to buy his seat. You know, so it's almost like he was given that position, but he didn't deserve it. So it's really kind of crazy. So to hear about the whole him giving up his seat, even though he ain't been there in 4 months anyway?
You know, when you mentioned the story, like, before you got on the air, I haven't remembered him being known to do anything in this position. It just never came to mind, like, what has he done? I haven't seen too much of him other than the whole thing about the Blagojevich mess. But other than that, no. I don't even know how to really feel about it because, like, I haven't seen him. You know, but, you know, the stuff that, you know, out there with him, the sickness and everything, and probably his abuse of the funds, that does explain quite a bit. You know, so it just shows how messy politics can really be. You know, one hand watches the other, type of nonsense. So, I mean, it's I'm going to look into it more tonight, but I find it interesting that, you know, I haven't heard anything or remember anything of him doing anything of significance during his time there.
Right. Right. And it's just kind of crazy because it's like, you know, I feel like that's like, I guess what I didn't understand is how he even won re-election, because that's what everybody's wondering. Like, he was gone for 4 months. Like, that's like you just not going to work for 4 months and you come back and now, you know, they're placing you in a manager position. He wasn't
right.
even there, so it's almost like he was just voted for him just because his name was on the ballot. So it's kind of crazy. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, so he's gone. And then last but not least, the whole issue with the Hostess company. If you didn't know, Hostess, the company that makes Twinkies, Little Debbie Little Debbie cakes, and all those other fattening snacks, they're basically shutting down their doors after like 40-some-odd years because they're saying that the union had basically tried to fight for fair wages and all this other stuff, and so the union workers ended up striking. And because they weren't there to work on the production line, the company fell behind, and they said they can't catch up. So they tried to sell off the company, and it was unable to be sold off, so now they're closing down, and over 1,800 people are going to lose work. They're going to lose their jobs forever. So it's a really sad situation, you know, but what I find funny is that, you know, a lot of people are so ready to blame the unions and say that it's the union's fault, and the unions need to just butt out, which I agree. I think the unions do need some revamping, but people forget, though, that a lot of these CEOs are worth millions of dollars. So I have pulled out a list that, you know, I'm going to post it in the chat room. These are the CEOs and the EVPs of Hostess. This is what they got as a pay raise this past year. So the main CEO, Brian Driscoll, he went from having $750,000 to going up to $2,550,000. So he had a huge pay raise. The guy under him initially started off at $500,000. He was raised to $900,000. The lowest person on this branch is Rob Kisick. He's a SVP. His initial salary was $182,000, and they bumped him up to $2,073 and some change. So I just find it funny that these 10 people are living the way that they're living and making all this money, but yet and still these union workers are not getting paid barely anything to sustain their families. And so it's easy to blame the union, but no one is looking at the CEOs and their pay raises and how their hands are always in the pot. So like everybody's saying in the chat room, rest in peace, Little Debbie, rest in peace, Twinkie cakes and zebra cakes and snowballs, the pink ones. So, yeah, rest in peace to all that because it's a wrap.
Yeah, but you're right about it. No one is talking about these major salary jumps. How you go from three-quarters of $1 million to $2.5 million? How you go up? That's a big-ass hike. That's a big-ass hike. And no one's talking about that. That's deep, man. That's that bullshit right there. I love me some Twinkies, too.
I don't see how people eat Twinkies. When I was younger, they was okay, but, yeah.
Ho-ho's
like
the
sponge cake with cream in it. I don't like Twinkies no more.
Well, I mean, ho-ho's were a little better. I mean, you know, I know about the snowballs. You know, but, you know, just the fact that, you know, you grew up with something and then you see it taken away, that's kind of heart-wrenching.
It's funny because everybody's all sad. And did you see the crazy people who are on eBay buying Twinkies for $500?
Yeah, I think somebody bought one for over $1,000 or something.
It's like, really, is it that serious? I mean, if you got money to give away like that, you need to just give it away to charity or to give it to some people in the hurricane-devastated area in New York, Staten Island, New Jersey. I mean, come on, $1,000 for a Twinkie, that's crazy.
And Rick Ross will bail him out.
That would be nice, Jamal. If Rick Ross did bail out Twinkie, I would crack up. Santiago was talking about eating deep fried Twinkies at the state fair. I've never had them. I've never really had too much deep fried anything at the state fair. That just sounds like a heart attack waiting to happen.
I heard about them, but no, just anything deep fried like that. I just can't vision a deep fried Twinkie. I have a little problem with it.
Oh, yeah, they be tearing them up. They deep fry anything. Remember them deep fried Kool Aid balls they had like 2 years ago?
Yeah, I heard about that.
That was a hot mess. I said, ain't no way in hell I eat something like that. Kool Aid and frying it. I said, it looked like a donut, like a little red donut.
I'm cool.
It was in the mold.
I'm cool. All right,
but I don't know. I wasn't feeling the whole, you know, I feel bad that 18,000 people are going to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
18,000. You know, I think that's just that all around the country. But it makes you think, too, like, okay, are the unions too involved? Are the unions wanting too much? And maybe we shouldn't have unions at all. But then look at a place like Walmart. They have no unions, and look how bad those employees get treated. And they've been trying to fight for a union for, like, you know, for years now. But Walmart would not give them a union at all.
You know, personally, I don't think it's really much of the unions. I mean, you know, working at Ford, you know, years ago, I remember seeing them, like, hit the pavement and really fighting for their employees. But, again, like, I still look at this list of people who are getting top dollar for nothing. That's where the salaries are going.
Right.
I mean, look at all. You don't need all that. I mean, you're already making more than enough. So, in order to keep things going, you got to take care of your employees. But, I mean, in many ways, I believe you need to have unions. Now, there's some unions, you know, that are questionable. But I still look at
these. The teachers union, put it out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother subject. But still.
You can't fire them. The teacher got to die before they get rid of them. The union protects the teachers. Even the bad ones. I mean, I understand protecting the good teachers, but the unions, they protect the bad teachers. A teacher can get caught, you know what I'm saying, messing around with a student or sending a student love notes, and all they'll do is just move them to another school instead of firing them.
Yeah. I was going to say something about the church, but I'm cool. No, we're not going to touch that this week.
No, we're going to wait till next week. So we're down to, like, our final minute. So I had a really good time. You know, these 90 minutes just fly by. We had a lot of really good discussions in the chat room as well. You know, I hope everybody has a really good Thanksgiving. Are you going anywhere for Thanksgiving, or you just staying around the house?
I'm staying home. I'm going to celebrate Happy Indigestion Day with me and my dog. We're going to eat turkey and leftovers until we just keel over and have the itis.
That's what's up. I don't eat turkey, though. Everybody keeps asking, what am I going to eat for Thanksgiving? The same thing I had every year, brain, side dishes.
That's stuffing.
Yeah, side dishes. Well, that's really about it. But no tofu turkey, boo. That one didn't sound right. I tried the tofu turkey lunch meat. Yuck. Some things don't need to be vegetarian. Some things just need to be left for the meat eaters, because you can't turn everything vegetarian.
No,
that was
kidding.
Like, I hate the vegetarian lunch meat, the vegan cheese. Ugh. Mm-mm. There's something I just won't mess with. But no, I'm going to my aunt. Me and the kids, we're going to go to my aunt. We're going to go over there and eat. And then my kids will probably just end up spending the night over there with their cousins and stuff. And then I'm heading off to work. So while you got itis and you and your dog are laying out, I'm be at work troubleshooting.
Hopefully
these registers don't crash. Mm-hmm.
I just caught a picture of the dude that was accusing the handler of Elmo. This dude like the extra on Twilight. What the fuck is up with this shit?
I told you, Kevin Clash was messing with some wildebeest. I'm like, he looked fake and phony. Like he should be a vampire.
I'm going to say that. You need to leave the sparkling vampires alone. That shit is dangerous.
No, he needs to stay out them gay chat rooms. That's what he needs to do. So we're down to our last 10 seconds. Thank you guys for joining us. We will be back next week at the same time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Good night.
Night, people.